This time last year, the Packers were at home, the 2 seed, watching the wild card round from afar. This year, they enter the playoffs on the road as the NFC's 5th seed. True, the wins haven't come as easily as they did a season ago, and the offense is not as crisp. But nevertheless, Coach McCarthy has the Packers ready.
It's the postseason. We've had a chance to, you know, to clean up our house, get it ready to showcase who the hell we are.
Life on the road in the playoffs is not the preferred route to a championship, but remember, the Packers have been down this road before. The quest for a 5th Lombardi trophy begins today in the nation's capital against the Washington Redskins. Packers Today, presented by Verizon, is next.
I'm going to bring it from an energy standpoint and from a leadership standpoint, and I expect to play well.
It's time to flip the switch, man, for the playoffs.
But our goals are still in front of us, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
We have every intention of going to Washington and winning the game.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. Now, winning the division and the right to host a home playoff game would have been really nice. But, Larry, what do you think about having to begin the playoffs on the road against Washington?
Is what it is and doable with a capital D or DC, as the case may be. The Redskins have not beaten a team with a winning record all season. And the last I checked, the Packers did have a winning record.
That is a very positive perspective going into this. Now let's take a look at the NFC slate. The Seahawks and Vikings will kick things off in Minneapolis 2 hours from now. That game can be seen right here on NBC at noon. If Minnesota wins, they will travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals next Saturday because they would be the highest remaining seed in the NFC. If Seattle wins, they will travel to Carolina next Sunday because they would be the lowest remaining seed. As for Green Bay and Washington, either winner will advance to the spot left vacant by the early game today. Larry.
All right. All those who predicted the Washington Redskins would make the playoffs this season, please raise your hands. Me neither. For the hows and whys, here's our scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
Kirk looking left, caught, Jamison Crowder, it's a Redskins touchdown. 3 touchdown passes in the first quarter for Kirk Cousins here in Dallas.
The number one reason the Redskins have gone from 4-12 to 9-7 and the playoffs, Kirk Cousins. 20 touchdown passes and just 3 picks in his last 10 games. We're not talking dinking and dunking either.
Going end zone, right side, looking for Jackson. Caught by DeSean Jackson. Touchdown, Redskins.
Led by DeSean Jackson, he's got 3 wide receivers who can beat you deep.
They got guys who can blow it off the top. And it's something that's noticeable on film, and Kirk Cousins is playing well.
Cousins' favorite target, however, tight end Jordan Reed. They can run clear-out patterns for him on the opposite side of the field, and Reed is fast enough to take advantage.
Jordan Reed, probably the most complete player, tight end, but he's more like a wide receiver.
Label Alfred Morris and the Redskin running game as functional, as is their offensive line, save left tackle Trent Williams. Label Washington's only Pro Bowler as fantastic.
And he's big, powerful man. He's fast. I mean, probably one of the fastest offensive linemen that you watch on tape. Pulling, stretch plays, everything he brings to the table. But, yeah, he's good.
From behind, it is a sack. It's the showstopper, Ryan Kerrigan. 9.5 sacks this year.
Up front defensively, outside linebacker Ryan Kerrigan is their best player, while nose tackle Terrence Knighton is their biggest. Listed at 354, he's rumored to be 380.
When you go against a guy with that kind of size, we're talking nearly 4 bells. What's important?
Just that you have a good pad level and you really bring some strength with him because you know he's going to have some power behind him.
The Redskins' secondary, not nearly as formidable, and it qualifies as Washington's weak link. 3 of its top 6 players are on IR, and at times it shows. Opportunity is knocking for a Packer passing game that's been looking for answers.
It's
the playoffs, we just got to make plays. I mean, when the opportunity presents itself, whether it's a tough catch or an easy catch, you got to make plays.
Taking a closer look at the Redskins.
Hey, what is that? Wasn't that close enough? I gave my heart and soul in that thing.
I'm going to put him under a microscope.
My feelings aren't hurt.
9-7 apparently was just good enough for them to win the NFC East this season. But digging a little deeper into Washington's schedule, their opponents combined to win just 46% of their games this season. Comparing that against the Packers, their opponents won 53% of their games. Now, as Larry indicated, the Redskins' offense is performing at a high level more recently, but defensively, they're allowing the fifth most yards per game and are ranked 26th against the run. Now, Larry, if there is ever an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to get the passing attack going and find its legs, this is it. And if they don't, quite possibly it could be their last chance to get it going.
As we mentioned in that wonderful scouting report, the weak area of the Redskins, not only defense but football team, is really their secondary. They've had a lot of injury problems, a lot of mixing and matching. They've continued right up until their last regular season game against Dallas. And there is an opportunity there for the Green Bay Packers. I can't envision a scenario where the Redskins secondary can come up and press guys man-to-man, something we've had issues with, press guys man-to-man and be successful at it. I just can't.
Well, the execution and offense we're talking about really begins with the guys in the trenches. And for the last 6 weeks, the Packers have had to go without their preferred starting offensive line. So continuity is hard to manufacture on the fly, isn't it?
Absolutely. You look at teams that really are successful late in the season. Generally speaking, their offensive lines have remained intact. Hasn't been the case for the Green Bay Packers. Hopefully that'll improve as we move on.
Ball security is always a major key and a fundamental today in Washington, especially against a defense known for forcing fumbles.
Well, the thing with turnovers, they're important every game. If there's one stat that matters, it's turnover ratio. The Packers have not been good in that area late in the season. That's got to change because the official wisdom, the conventional wisdom in the NFL is while turnover ratio is very important in the regular season, it's doubly so once you get to the postseason.
Doubly so.
Doubly so.
I think you made that up.
Yeah, probably.
So there have been a couple inconsistencies on offense, but nobody in the locker room seemed to lack confidence. Could that have something to do with the way that the defense has been performing?
Well, certainly with the defensive players, all you can control is what you can control. And defensively speaking, the Packers have been playing good enough to win. Not the case offensively. And it would surprise me if deep down there isn't some question marks confidence-wise with the offensive players. Success breeds confidence. And let's face it, the Packers have not enjoyed a lot of offensive success as of late.
And confidence can go a long way.
Everything you do is a reflection of your attitude. Now, the Packers do have a lot of players who've been highly successful in the past, and it's one of those times you kind of, hey, I can do this, we can do this, and you got to focus on those kind of thoughts.
We can do this.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Next on Packers Today, why the stat sheet has little to say about the impact Clay Matthews has on a game. Larry explains in this week's Chalk Talk. And later, wishing the Packers well in ways only children can. It's Letters to Lambeau, and I'll share some of the most creative, unique, and downright cutest submissions. We'll be right back.
Practices hard, he leads by example.
It's just who I am. I just want to go to work every day.
It's in his DNA.
Here comes Julius Peppers.
Down he goes.
Raining all over the quarterback.
His teammates will say he's a freak.
The daily double, the sack, the strip.
And he can do stuff like that.
Julius Peppers puts up another impressive season in a career that spanned 14 years. Julius's 10.5 sacks paced the Packers this season, and it marked the 9th time in his career that he finished the regular season with 10 or more sacks. Peppers is tied for 9th all-time in sacks with 136. Larry?
Looks can be deceiving, and so can numbers, especially when they pertain to Clay Matthews. Here's this week's Chalk Talk.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Here were the headlines after Clay Matthews went 2 games without being credited with a single tackle. And here's what he had to say prior to playing the Vikings.
You know, I got to find a way to show up. And I will. I will this Sunday.
Matthews, a man of his word. On the official play-by-play, his bottom line read 3 tackles, 1 sack, 2 tackles for a loss, and 1 quarterback hit.
Good numbers to be sure, but stats alone are never a complete measure of the impact Matthews has. Not in that game, not in any game. And here's a perfect example.
Matthews is running a stunt with Mike Neal, and Clay quickly puts 2 blockers in no man's land. Can't block him, can't block Neal. The Vikings also hedge their protection bets with a blocking back, and all of his efforts are directed at trying to stop number 52. 3-on-1 leaves no one for Neal, and he forces the right-handed Bridgewater into a left-handed throw. Officially, Mike Neal gets a quarterback hit, Micah Hyde an interception, and Clay Matthews, he gets nothing.
Clay Matthews is our most disruptive player. Statistics, I don't think, ever tell the full story. You got to get a look inside the statistic or the performance.
And, Lauren, actually there were a number of plays in the Viking game where Clay had a significant impact without registering an official stat, one of them being Julius Peppers' sack. It was Clay who flushed Teddy Bridgewater.
And for all you stat geeks out there, Clay did set a career high for tackles in a season with 85. Staying on the defensive side of the ball, you mentioned Redskins tight end Jordan Reed in the scouting report. Now, he's setting team records.
Sure, the scouting report was actually pretty good now that we look at it.
It was amazing. I mean, you know, great work.
Continue, I'm sorry.
Now, Reed is setting records for a season in receptions and yards for a tight end. What can the Packers possibly do to contain him?
Well, Lauren, 2 things. Number 1 is being assignment sure. When you face a real good player, which Reed is, don't give him anything. No blown coverages when it comes to Jordan Reed. And the other thing is execution of those assignments. He's going to make some catches. Got to contain him and contain that number to a reasonable level. He'll make some plays.
Now, the Redskins are about 60-40 from pass to run. How do you go about making them one-dimensional given the success that they've had throughout the year this season?
You know, I know that's conventional wisdom, but the best part of their offense is the passing game.
Yeah.
And the one-dimensional thing is always about we'll stop the run and then we'll force them to pass. The key point is pressure, is when they do make them one-dimensional, if they can stop Alfred Morris in the running game, is to get after Kirk Cousins, make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Because if he has time, as we have seen, particularly in their last 4 games, which have all been wins, he can light it up.
All right, pressure on the quarterback. Got it. Coming up next, letters to Lambeau. That's right, fans were encouraged to send letters or draw pictures wishing the team good luck this week. The response was outstanding. I'll share a few of them with you when we return. Packers Today is back after this timeout.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Earlier this week, the players voted for playoff captains. On Thursday, the guys got all dressed up for the yearly captain's picture. Aaron Rodgers and John Kuhn will serve as the offensive captains. Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers will represent the defense, and Chris Banjo and kicker Mason Crosby are the special teams captains. Here's what the guys had to say and what it means to them.
It's an honor to have these guys vote for me because, you know, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign of leadership.
The guys that I get to be a captain with as well, it's always an honor, and you know, it's just a special thing.
It's definitely a big time blessing to you know, the way we go about it in terms of, you know, the team voting, to see what the guys think of me. You know, it's real encouraging, and like I said, it's a big time blessing to be able to have that honor.
The Green Bay Packers received a little extra love from their fans before heading out for their first playoff game. The Letters to Lambeau program had fans of all ages drawing pictures and writing letters to help encourage the players. Now, those letters and pictures got put up on a giant video board that was right outside the Packers locker room. So the players got to interact with their young fans. I'm lucky enough to be able to dig through those letters a little bit, and I just want to share with everyone some of my favorite ones. I think they're so special. Dear Aaron Rodgers, my name is Ellie and I'm 10 years old. I live in Appleton. I hope you win this next game because you work so hard to win the game. I just think that's so cute that a little girl is trying to commend Aaron Rodgers on his work ethic. Now, I think this next picture could very much be a looking glass into what the future might be. It's Eddie Lacy standing with his hands on his hips and Will Compton's down on his back. I think this is saying there's no way that they're going to stop the Packers run game. I like this one. Let's hope that comes true. This one. My favorite part about this one is it says, dreams do come true. I think it's adorable that this child is telling a professional athlete, just reminding him, hey, your dreams may come true. Good time for a reminder. We're in the playoffs. Dear Aaron Rodgers, my name is Taylor and I'm 7 years old. I hope you win this next game because my dog gets touchdown cookies. You hear that, Aaron Rodgers? We got to feed this pup. Let's put some extra points on the board. And for the fact of that, you know, I think I deserve some touchdown cookies as well. I love this idea. Check out this one. Go Pack, go Pack, man. Dear Aaron Rodgers, my name is Catherine. I'm 11 years old. I want you to win this next game because my brother is a Redskins fan and I want to trash talk him. Yes, let's get those healthy arguments moving at a very young age when it comes to sports. That's so cute. Oh, this one is so endearing. It's just what the Packers are in the eyes of a child. Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Clay Matthews, all holding hands. Now, I spy with my little eye. I think that's a squirrel right at the bottom there. Maybe the same squirrel that ran onto the field during that Packers-Vikings game. I don't know. That's just what I interpreted out of this beautiful piece of artwork. For the grand finale, this one has absolutely blew me away. Dear James Jones, my name is Carolina, and I'm 11 years old. I live in Milwaukee, and I hope you win this next game because I have faith in you. We have faith in you. Show everyone what you're made of. Keep going. Do your best. You are awesome. I think those are such powerful words of encouragement. I received them just as I'm reading them. I got choked up, and I just think this is such a great program. Let's hope this encouragement helps propel the Packers into a win, and we can keep the Letters to Lambeau program going. I know because when I spoke to Devontae Adams in the locker room this last week, he said he feels the love from the community. Let's encourage those Packers. Larry and I are going to be right back after this.
I had a lot of family down there, and I wanted to show them a good showing for the Super Bowl. Not that it had pressure on me, but, you know, I just, in my mind, which is kind of crazy, I took myself back to my high school years. We played, you know, a couple state championships down there, so I tried to take it back to those days. Relax, you know what you can do as a player. Just go out there and play football, and you'll do fine.
Back goes Bledsoe deeper this time. Look quick to the outside. Intercepted by the Packers. Doug Evans at the 28-yard line.
He got his both feet in, which you have to do. You can't do it better than that.
We knew that we had brought the glory back to Green Bay, and all that hard work had finally paid off, you know, to finally win that big ball game. It was unbelievable.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundralin. Larry, Doug Evans and the Packers' number one ranked defense picked off Drew Bledsoe four times en route to the 35-21 victory over the Patriots in Super Bowl 31.
The thing I remember about Doug Evans during that Super Bowl season in 96, about midseason, the Packers had three road games. They lost at Kansas City, lost at Dallas, and they're not playing very well in St. Louis. And Doug Evans made an interception that turned that game around And I think that game turned around the Packers season. Keep playing.
Well, the Redskins are an uncommon opponent, but what key matchups do you think you're going to be looking for today?
We talked about it earlier. Packer receiving core getting well against the depleted Washington secondary. Got to win that matchup.
And the game.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thanks, Larry. Well, be sure to check out Packers.com immediately following today's game for live coverage of the post-game press conferences with head coach Mike McCarthy and quarterback Aaron Rodgers, plus all of your post-game stories and reaction from the locker room. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Everyone enjoy the game.